Okay. All right. All right. A new year. A new me.
This guy does this all the time.
That's right. Welcome back to another episode of Two Joes and a Pro. It's your guys, Kenny, Ryan, and Brian. It is a new year, 2024. My guys, I'm happy to bring the year in with you guys for our first episode of the year. I would say, let me ask you guys, how was you guys this new year? Do anything fun? Turn up?
Yeah, man, I was in bed before midnight.
Okay. Me too, me too.
That sounds about right.
10:30?
let's just living it up, bro.
What they say, birds of a feather flock together, because I actually was knocked out myself. I was putting Kenny to sleep, and when I woke up, it was like 1:30, and I was like, okay, happy new year, Kenny. Yeah. And I just took myself into my bed. So I guess we all on the same type of clock. Brian, you're a little behind.
What are you talking about?
Clock.
I was here at 9 on the dot, Kenny.
Okay, anyway.
I don't do that army stuff no more. I'm not 10 minutes prior.
Okay. No. See, me and Ryan is on Coughlin time.
Look, yeah. I'm always the first. The show can't start without me. So
100%. I would say that the year didn't start as well as I wanted it to. Because I'm going to go ahead and address the elephant in the room. Somehow we managed to lose, meaning Alabama, to Michigan with a 7-point lead with 4 minutes left and the ball in our hands. We figured out a way to lose. So a little disappointed.
Guys fumbled it away,
and our defense couldn't get the stops when they needed to. Kind of collapsed at the end, which is unlikely, but you know that's what happens. We have youth, and give credit to Michigan for staying in there, right? Because I know their fans weren't staying in there, and their fans were, "Oh my God, Harbaugh, fire him!" But the players stayed together and figured out how to get it done. And you know they'll be in the championship, which is their first time since I think like 1987 or something like that. So that'd be big for them. And then they're going to be playing against Washington, who I don't understand why people keep underestimating them every time, every game they go into. They're always underdogs, and they just win, man. Like they played against Oregon, 10-point underdogs, blew Oregon out, and then they played against Texas, which. The game was closer than it really was because if you watch the game, Texas didn't have a chance. The way Michael Penix looked was.
I mean, Texas could have won it at the end. They didn't have a chance.
They didn't have a chance, though, realistically. Like, towards the second half, they weren't even throwing it like that, how they were the first half. They were chilling out. Okay. They were trying to run the ball and move the clock. So I'm saying, like, if they wanted to run it up, they could have run it up. The game didn't happen.
Kenny, if they could have run it up, they would have run it up.
This what?
Let them in back in the game.
They did.
They didn't. Texas just came back.
All right. Okay. Did Texas win? No. Okay. Let me continue. So Washington is going to be playing against Michigan in the national championship next week. And I think that should be a good game, only for the sake of we'll see if Michigan can stop their receivers, because Washington receivers are the real deal. We'll see if Penix shows up, but Washington receivers are for sure the real deal. They got three bona fide receivers. The offensive coordinator, he might not be there long because he schemes it up. So I know everybody's talking about Michigan defense, and interior wise, I think Michigan defense is going to give Washington problems. I think they'll do screen games. And I don't think they'll be relaxed like Texas was. Texas kind of set back and didn't apply as much pressure as Michigan did when they played against Alabama. They blitzed pretty much like 70% or 80% of the time. So I think they'll probably have a similar game plan just to get Penix off his schedule. But I think it's going to be a good game. Brian, what do you think about that?
I think it pains me to say this because I don't think that Michigan is as good as they have been this year, but I think they're going to win. And the reason is that they have a better defense and they're going to be able to slow Washington down enough. And I don't think Washington's defense is really that good. So JJ is going to have opportunity out there to, you know, put up some points. And I think Michigan's going to take this.
Yeah, we'll see.
And the reason why everybody doesn't like Washington all year and they underestimate them is because they constantly play down to their opponent. That's which true. Is why, you know, you could say that they let Texas back in it, but that's the way they played all year.
Yeah.
You know, but, they're barely getting by these teams that they should be walloping. And that's why people don't believe in Washington.
I think Michigan has to play a lot better if they want to win, because if Washington gets a stop and they take the advantage and take the lead, I think it's going to be hard for Michigan to come back.
Personally. Yeah. Yeah. Michigan needs to be able to stop them.
Yes.
Like, because if they can't, then yeah, you know, Washington's offense is much better.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan, their run game doesn't help them in the sense when you have a pass happy team like this where they can put points up quick. It's not to your benefit. But yeah, I think it'd be good. So we'll see what happens next week. And then in college basketball, it's been exciting for me and Brian. We've kind of been roping some wins, and if you guys are tracking us in DraftKings, we've been putting it together. BK Betts, we starting the year smacking. We're smacking right now. Me and Brian both are, you know, he's hitting his picks. I'm hitting some parlays. He's hitting a couple parlays. College overall, I think it's starting to get more into conference play. We're starting to see teams move away from, you know, out of conference play, getting conference play. So it's going to be a little tricky, right? I think today was the big sky day over the weekend. Over this weekend, we got Purdue playing against Illinois, which should be good. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I can track it. I don't think there was any big games last week just because of the holidays.
For college basketball?
For basketball, yeah.
Yesterday, Northwestern got smacked by Illinois. Yeah, but I was surprised by that because wasn't the Illinois kid, isn't he the one that got suspended?
Yeah, but they have some other players on their team though.
I know, but he was like their main guy. Like,
yeah, but they've been out without him for like 3 weeks now. So they played in a couple other games. So I wasn't expecting them to get smacked like that at all. Well, right?
Got beat by 30.
Yeah, and it was like, not
and
close.
They just beat Purdue before the Christmas break.
Yeah, it wasn't close either. Like, no. From the beginning. Yeah, I forgot. I covered the Marquette. They beat Creighton over the weekend. I know Brian didn't like that. He's a Creighton guy.
I do like him.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic lost to Florida Gulf Coast on, I think,
yeah, that was trash.
That threw me off. I think they just had a bad day.
You should have known, though, that it was a trap game because they're like rivals, aren't they? Like, they're interstate rivals. Even though FAU is a much bigger team,
yeah, in college hoops, but they didn't look themselves, right? No, I don't know.
They were terrible shooting from three that day.
Yeah,
I mean, and when you're a 3-D type team, I mean, that can kill you sometimes. So
especially because they played against, who did they play against early in the year and they beat?
I know what you're talking about. They beat
Kansas.
Them. Was it Kansas?
I thought it was, right. Was it Kansas?
You might be right. I mean, I'm just.
I thought I played Kansas in a neutral site and beat them. I got to go back and find that. Anyway, yeah, but college basketball is starting to pick up, which is good. If you're a betting person, North Carolina, I'm going to show the Tar Heels some love. They're really inconsistent. I think they're overrated in a sense, but they have been winning as of late. No, they beat Arizona. My bad. FAU beat Arizona 96-95 in the Holiday Classic. They upset them. So they're my favorite team. I don't know how Brian feels, but my favorite team is going to be UConn. I think that defensively, them guys are different. You know, when they get healthy, I think you really will see their full strength. But I know a lot of people like Purdue because Edie is playing like a demon. I don't know if you went to the Kevin Garnett camp or whatever, but he's doing a lot of shit talking and he's backing it up. And I like it. You know, I like it.
I like it if he can back it up. When you can't back it up, then you just run your mouth.
But right now he's averaging like high 20s. And
well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's expected.
He basically
right?
just drops the ball in the hoop every time, you know?
That is true. That is true.
But the other thing is Purdue added some shooting over the, from last, like that's the difference between their team last year and this year. They added a little bit more like perimeter shooting, so it benefits them.
Who's really their shooter? Because I feel like they have the same squad from last year. Maybe the guys got better shooting. Maybe. Because they still have the point guard, the what's the point guard named Scott? No, no. They still have the point guard that's there. And then, hold on, I'll tell you right here.
Was Purdue playing tonight?
They still have Smith, the guard, the lawyer. They still have him. So I don't.
Yeah, who's Jones?
Lance Jones. Jones is a Jones is. I thought he was a freshman.
He's a senior.
Oh, he's so a senior. Okay, cool. I think cool.
He might have transferred, but I'm not sure.
They have a freshman on their team that's good too.
Regardless, I mean, I just feel like their shooting around Edie's been a lot better, and that is a big deal because when they crowd Edie, he's got to be able to kick it and trust that his guys are going to make the shot.
That's the only time they lose. The only time they lose is if they crowd Edie and they don't hit their threes. Yeah. That's the only time. But yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. All right. We'll go NBA. Let's see tonight. I mean, I know the OKC upset the Celtics the other night. Wasn't a huge upset, but you know, they were Celtics were favored and OKC took the win. They've been playing really hot lately.
Put it down to
that. Shy and Chet are balling.
Yeah. They're getting smacked right now.
Who's the other white dude with like the long hair?
That they got Josh Giddey.
Giddey, yeah.
They
have a good squad. I mean, they're going to be like that team that they're going to be in the playoffs probably. But
they're the number two seed right now.
Yeah, but well, there's still a lot of season left. But I know, but their experience is going to come out in the playoffs and like the lack of it. So they probably won't make a lot of noise.
I don't think so. Only because they have nothing.
Game series is different than playing one game.
I know, but the thing is, these guys have nothing to lose. You got to remember, like, this is the same team that was losing the last couple years, like getting their ass whooped. Yeah. And then now it's like, okay, enough is enough. They got a lot of youth, and a lot of those guys are very defensive. They have a good defensive presence. Like, I don't think any of those guys on their starting roster are any slouches on defense. Like, you might say Giddey is the only one, right? But even then, he doesn't get beat. Dort, defensive stopper, Gilgeous Alexander, he's high in steals, right? The freshman, or not the freshman, the rookie, Williams, he plays good on defense. And then Chet Holmgren is a blocker. So I think when you play, and I'm saying for right now, what I'm saying, Brian, is right now in the NBA, where people don't play a lot of defense, for them to be a defensive focused team, right? Or not focus, but a defensive team, a defensive-minded team, I think that helps them in this case because a lot of teams right now are not playing defense whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, but we're going to see that ramp up a little bit more because usually NBA post-Christmas, that's when everybody starts actually kind of caring a little bit more.
They're climbing back into this game right now, too. I didn't mean to cut you off. They started – somebody said last night that they had a delay getting in from Boston, like a 4 a.m. flight. So they started this game super sluggish. They were down like 15 to start the game. The game
was in OKC.
Huh?
Last night's game was in OKC.
Okay, I'm sorry. Boston. And coming into Atlanta. And they were down 14 in the first quarter. They kind of made up for it. It was down at 20 at a point. And right now, this is a 9-point game in the third quarter. Yeah.
Atlanta's like that, though. Atlanta just always gets out on top of people a lot. And then they fade. They don't have the closers.
What's your view on the Pacers? Are they for real or what?
No.
Why you say no?
Lack of star power, honestly. They can't in a 7-game series, they're not beating Boston. They're not beating Milwaukee, and I don't even think they could beat Philly.
They've been having Milwaukee's number right now.
I don't care. Listen, with Milwaukee's Lillard, it's like game on, game off. Like he's inconsistent so far. He hasn't completely gelled yet with that team. When he gets it going, when it becomes Dame time, because Giannis is always going to do what he got to do. But when Dame gets going, that team's going to roll. Like that team is dangerous.
But why do you think? I feel like it's the LeBron when his first year in Miami, right? When D Wade had to tell him, like, bro, you do you. Like, this is your team, you rock out. Because, like, I get Giannis, right? And Giannis is going to get his. But Giannis got to let D. Lillard be D. Lillard and, like, let him rock out, right?
Because it's just when you get stars like that together that haven't played a lot yet, they have to figure each other out. Because they're used to being ball dominant, but they both can't have the ball at the same time.
I feel like he's being super passive, though.
Right.
And then the shots that he takes, they're not good shots. Yeah, he's like shooting 35, 40 footers.
He isn't the alpha now. Like, Giannis is the alpha.
I don't necessarily think that he's not the alpha, though. I think it's enough food on the plate from both of them to eat.
There is.
But I just don't think Giannis understands how to play with another star like that. Because Chris Middleton is not Damian Lillard.
I'm agreeing with you. I mean, we're just saying it differently. Like, it's just they need to learn how to play with each other. It comes down to that. So I think that's why I don't think the Pacers, they're like a fun team, man. Like, we see this type of team every year. They look good. And then when it's nut cutting time, man, nah. Like, I like
who's that?
I like Halliburton, but yeah, that's it.
He's been balling, though, bro. He had a 20 assist game with no turnovers. He had 22 assists, right?
Who else does he have with him? I mean,
but the names don't really matter in that case.
It's not the names, but like, who it's like, really is going to be there night in, night out? Because Turner has proven year in and year out that he fades against studs. So when he goes up against a Giannis or an Embiid, he's not going to do anything.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Westbrook and OKC, like a couple years in when he finally like took over everything. Right. Where it's like, I'm going to just run. We're going to run and gun and play defense. So I feel like I think they can catch a couple of teams depending on who they play, because they score a lot of points. They score a lot of points and they'll tire you out. Like LeBron, you know, AD, these older stars that, yes, they show up when it's game time. But to do that for seven games, to run for seven games with fresh legs, young legs, that's going to be hard. I'm not saying LeBron and them. I'm just saying people in the East, right?
The best thing they could do is they need to get a real big man. A real big man.
Like, there's not like many who, of though? Them
in the league. Like, yeah, who? I don't know, man.
Like, you talking about like a Valanciunas type big man?
No, I mean, you want somebody that can still run. I mean, he's a little bit bigger. Maybe like a Siakam. Or something like that.
Bro, they're not getting that, though.
Why not?
They're not trading. They're not trading Siakam.
Why not?
They already made a trade. They
traded for the future. They traded for a younger guy and picks.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Siakam is not going anywhere. Right? Like, he is the staple print of Toronto.
I bet you he's on the trade block.
No. No.
Yeah.
That's why they got OG out of there. Because OG was coming into himself and they're trying to get value from him. So they're like, let me get you out of here real quick.
All right.
Anyway.
So Detroit finally snapped their 28 game losing streak by beating the aforementioned Toronto Raptors. So congrats to them. They're now 3-30 on the season. Pretty much locked up that number one pick, I think. No, not really, but they are terrible. They play teams close for a little while, but again, that's like what Kenny said. There's no defense being played in the league, so it's hard to really gauge teams until it matters, like with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's when it matters. Like, you can turn the game off and just turn it on for the end of the game, and usually that's all you need to watch. You get the picture. I don't like the way the league is right now, man, honestly.
I think it gets watered down every year.
Yeah. It's lacking any grit.
All the scoring besides yesterday with the 76ers and the Bulls. That's the game where the scoring stopped.
Yeah. What do you think about...
What's wrong with Golden State?
Yeah, I was just about to bring them up. What do you think about Golden State, Kenny?
Look at their home record. They've already lost 8 or 9 games this year at home.
Their home record is 10-8, and they're 6-9
I was looking at like the last 3 to 4 years, and they haven't lost, like, the most they lost in a season is 10 games at home.
Yeah, I think OKC's problem is
Golden State.
Golden State. Sorry, I'm thinking OKC because that's who I want to win tonight. But Golden State's problem is they are relying too much on Steph Curry, and they're not getting other guys involved. And Steph Curry is just not Steph Curry.
Is Clay messed up? Is something wrong with him?
I don't think Clay's messed up. I just think they're getting older, man. Like when you get older, like you got to.
Curry needs glasses.
Huh?
Might need glasses.
Nah, I don't think he needs glasses. Issue. I think the issue is when you get older, you got to think about it. They do a lot of running to get their shots. Like you're running around a lot of screens. You're coming off a lot of screens. There's a lot of legs, dog. And when you get older, those miles catch up to you. And I think what you're seeing right now is Clay's not hitting his shot. So Steph has to overcompensate for it. Draymond's not there, who normally, you know, knows it like the back of the hand, where everybody likes to be, where their spot's at. That's kind of hurting him right now. Chris Paul is trying to do something, but he can't really do anything. They're looking for young guys to step up. Nobody's really stepping up and taking the bull by the horn. Kuminga is trying to, but in that point, Kuminga is kind of one-on-one. Andrew Wiggins disappeared.
Why so it's like point guard. They're the – what's that guy's name?
Gary Payton?
No. DiVincenzo or whatever?
Oh, DiVincenzo. He's not on the team.
He's not?
Nah.
Who's a little point guard then?
Oh, he's a guy from the G League. He's a G League guy. Let me get his name for you. He was in the G.
But he's been playing. He was playing like pretty well for a while.
He was playing pretty well in the G League, and he was doing all right here until
he's starting for him.
No, he's not starting for him. He plays
Chris
a lot
Paul
though.
Was coming off the bench.
No, he's not starting though. It's Porta whatever his name is. Portizimski, whatever. I butchered that. He comes off before Chris Paul, though. He comes off before Chris Paul does, though.
No, he's been starting, dude. I promise you. Box score. Last game. Where is he? Oh, he didn't play that game. Podzimski.
Yeah, last game, they played yesterday. He had 28 minutes, right? But he came off the bench, 10 points. Steph Curry does what Steph Curry does, 36 points. But then, like everybody else, there's nobody really doing anything. Kuminga's taking more of a role. He's getting 14 shots. They got Trace Jackson from Indiana. He's trying to get into that four role, and it's not really working. They're discombobulated right now without Draymond, and I don't think people want to give Draymond the credit because he is a dirty player, quote unquote, in people's eyes. So they don't want to say, "Oh, they need Draymond," but really, they need Draymond.
What would you think about them putting Clay come off the bench for a little while because his shooting's been awful lately?
Who come off the bench for who?
I don't even know, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Like if. The game before versus Dallas, he was 1 for 11, 3 points.
Yeah. But his shot is flat now.
His shot's always been flat.
It's worse, though. Like, I feel like he has no legs at all.
He probably don't. But I don't know who you come off the bench for, right? You got Andrew Wiggins, who is not performing. They had Looney, you know, who is a big man. Gary Payton. And then you got Podziemski.
What you're saying is they don't have enough.
They don't have anybody to challenge Clay to say, all right, cool. And even if they did have somebody that was like a Jordan Poole guy that could score, Clay would be like, and motherfucker, I got championships. I don't care about that. Like Clay's confidence is like that to where he's like, I don't care. But you got nobody on your roster that's going to make me feel, oh man, I should be threatened. So,
yeah. All right. One last thing. I just want to get your take on Kenny. Do you think Memphis can make a run and get into the playoff chase? They're currently 5.5 games back from the 10 seed, which is your Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of time left. I think they can do it. I just think the biggest thing with Memphis is they just got to be consistent. Right now, like, yes, Ja's back, but he's not himself. Like that first game, yes, but he still needs to knock the dust off a little bit. And I think Memphis as a whole suffered with him not being there because those guys learn how to lose. right? Like before, with Ja was on the court, there's like, no, bro, we're not losing. But now their mentality has changed a little bit. And if you see them play defensively, like right now, they're losing the Raptors by 18. And those guys, when I watch them play, they don't have the same like Memphis grit like they did before. So it's going to be hard, but I think it's doable though. So
that's all I got for NBA. Damn. We'll do hockey next week. Nothing special going on right now for hockey. Yeah.
All right. Damn, we have so much going on. So teams are locked up in the playoffs. So I'm going to go ahead and do clinched playoff spots in the AFC side. AFC, we got the Ravens clinched. I think they clinched the number one seed. Yeah, they have the number one seed clinched. So then the Ravens got a bye week. They're benching Lamar. They're resting Lamar this week, and they're resting it. And obviously they have a bye week. So he won't play a game for 2 weeks. What are your thoughts on resting players like that?
I don't
like
that.
Lamar.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I get it if you get into the lead and you want to take him off, right? I don't like it going in because essentially he's going to have 3 weeks of a break.
That's too long.
And that's going to, like, you know what I mean? Right now he's popping right now. He's in his flow. He's in his bag. You don't want him to get hurt and things like that. But I think you get him in, let him play a quarter. Once you guys get a lead, okay, cool.
Backup's coming. Who do they got on their schedule?
Pittsburgh. That's it.
Why not play half?
I probably wouldn't play him against Pittsburgh either. Because Pittsburgh, he's liable to get hurt. Because them dudes at Pittsburgh right now, I don't know what Mike Tomlin be telling them, but they find a way to win. And right now they're playing like nasty right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I would play him a little bit. Just because if he has that first round bye, dude, come on.
Not against TJ Watt.
That's what I'm saying. Away from Watt every play.
Yeah, but
if you're going to do that, you might as well not play him.
Why?
If you're going to have to roll him away and try to, you might as well not play him at all. You might as well just wait until
he's going
to
do all the prep. He's going to play like he's playing. He's going to like do all the preparation like he's playing the game.
It's different when you have somebody coming at you and then when you don't, right?
Yeah.
Think about when they started the season. He didn't start the season in flow like he is now. He had to get into it. It was still good, but it was like, everybody's questioning in the first couple weeks, like, oh, where's Lamar at? I don't see it yet. And then now he's finding stride. Now you don't want to break that, in my opinion. But what do I know?
Yeah. AFC East is coming down to this is the game of the week, just because most teams don't have a ton to play for.
So wait, but are you about to say that the Bills might win the division?
I think they'd be tied, right?
And they would have the tiebreaker.
Correct.
I just wanted to throw that out there. That someone said this a few weeks ago, but I don't know.
Anyways, Bills are playing for the division against the Dolphins. They're heating up. I mean,
yeah.
That for a Bills team, this is the best case scenario for the Bills.
Why?
Because typically they're like a powerhouse team. They come into the playoffs. They got a 1-2-3 seed, and they're expected to win. Whereas now it's like they were an outside team looking. They're clawing their way in. They're showing a little bit of grit.
So if they lose, they don't make it.
No, they would. I think they still have a chance to win, even if they. Even if they lose, they have a 64% chance of getting
in. If Miami loses, Miami doesn't make it.
No, Miami gets in. I think they're Miami clinched. Already.
Oh.
But they're playing the division, the home game, the 2 seed.
Okay. Because Miami already has the record already to clinch, and then Bills, if they get this win, they now have the same record. But since they have a better record, they get there. Okay.
Yeah, the Bills will have beat them twice.
Okay. The Bills would be the 2 seed and Miami would be the.
But they're not going to win, though. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Tyreek House is just on fire. It's not going to look good. He's going to be out there.
You know why it's caught fire, right? It's because Bill Belichick laps inside. He was running so fast.
He caught that wood on fire. You know what? You should cover this in BK Bets, but. Everyone needs to go in and look at players that have contract incentives that are like very easily to be able to hit, because there are some key things that could happen that you could easily make some bets.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
50 yards and 7 catches to hit 2 bonuses.
He needs 50 yards. But he'll get it, though.
Right. Tennessee, that's what we're saying.
Oh, but Tennessee will give that to him.
Right.
Patriots won't do it. Certain teams won't do it.
No, Patriots would be like, no, you're benched.
No, you're not playing, bro.
You're right. But no, DeAndre Hopkins, start him in DFS, bet 50 plus and 7 catches for a parlay. I mean, I feel like it's a guarantee.
Yep.
They will find a way. Yes. They will screen them to death.
And isn't Levis out? So Tannehill's going to be in. Tannehill actually throws him the ball, right?
No.
They both. Yeah. No, Tannehill wasn't.
Tannehill isn't throwing the ball at all. It was Levis. Tannehill,
yeah, no. It's hard to throw the ball. I thought
Tannehill was done for the season.
No.
No,
he came in. He was in last week.
I didn't pay attention to that.
Because Levis is out for the year now, I think.
What did he do?
I don't know. I think it was a leg injury of some sort.
Damn it!
I feel like he's out.
But can you guys say I was right about Levis though?
What do you mean you were?
But that he has no pocket presence and he doesn't.
I told you guys Levis was it. You guys remember Brian? You said he's third on the depth chart. You said he's third on the depth chart. Yes, you did. In the beginning of the season, you did say that. You said he's third on the depth chart. You talking about Will Levis?
We were teasing you.
Yes, we were teasing the hell out of you.
And I told him he'll be playing.
Okay.
And he did, and he was starting.
Yeah, because they were terrible, and they were like, whatever, let's throw him in there.
When he came in, he gave him a spark, and people were like, damn, Will Levis. Do y'all forget when he threw for 4 touchdowns?
They were already eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Go watch this guy play.
Yeah.
Every time he gets hectic. A little pressure, he gets demolished.
Yes.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's not that good.
He's not that good.
That's all.
He's not that good. And Vrabel knows it. And that's why Vrabel wants to leave Tennessee. So he's
the best quarterback on their roster.
Yes.
Well, that's not hard to say.
Yes.
I'm saying, but
he's
better than all the quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. He's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league, dog. Yeah. He's better than all the quarterbacks in Carolina.
Well, if you look at the starting quarterbacks this year, there have been so many injuries, it's ridiculous.
Did you see that? Did you see that stat?
It was ridiculous.
This is week 1 starters, and then they said week 17 or 16, and then they trade. It was
all
only 5 guys. It's only 5 guys that are still starting.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for some reason.
You know injuries, why? They're not practicing.
Yeah.
You keep sitting out all these games. More and more. Handling it. More and more. You keep sitting out. Keep sitting out. More and more injuries. Now's the quarterbacks.
It's going to turn into flag football soon enough. Oh, we have to protect our players.
It's already there.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, the Chiefs clinched their playoff spot, but we will officially see. It won't be this week, but if as long as they win their first playoff, their wild card week, we will see Mahomes play a playoff game.
So wild card, they're still playing
home. Road game, you mean?
Yeah, they'll play home. Yeah, we'll see him play a road game. As long as they win their wild card game. So.
Okay.
He's got to prove something.
What is it to prove?
They struggle bus this year. Even during games they should win.
Right.
And that they
don't
are
winning. Lead the league in drops?
Yes.
Yes,
Ryan. You said this. He can't catch the ball for them, Ryan.
Know, calm even, down, Giselle.
Even Travis Kelce.
Okay,
dropping balls. What's going on?
Okay, so like you said, Travis Kelce dropping balls.
Opposite spiral. Like what's
Travis Kelce is concentrated on something else at the time.
He ain't catching. He ain't
the only thing he's catching is T Swift.
Yeah, he's not concentrating on catching the ball. He catching something else.
The only team I will give credit for actually benching their starter to give them a rest week is the Browns. Joe Flacco needs a minute to get reset. But the Browns look great. Flacco won't play this
Joe,
week.
Man. Watch out. Yeah. Browns. Dark horse.
Ryan cost me a championship because I told him I'm going to start Joe Flacco. He said, don't do it. They're playing against the Jets defense. And Joe Flacco had three touchdowns, 308 yards in the first half. And I looked, I was like, damn, right?
Yeah. And then what happened? They had to bring him back in. Why? Why did they have to bring him back in? Because they took him out. And then they brought him back in.
I don't know.
Did DTR get hurt? Or was he just that bad?
Man, I don't
know.
Let me not say nothing. He not it though.
Who? DTR?
Mm-mm.
No. Joe Flacco is it.
Joe Flacco is
David Njoku has been hibernating for the first 6 years of his career, waiting for this moment.
Joe Flacco is playing like he's trying to get a new deal. Like he might, the way how good he's been playing these games, he might come in next year and get a backup deal and get like 10 mil.
Oh, I was gonna say 20.
What?
Oh, easy.
Yeah, man.
Jameis is making like 18, I think.
Nah, but yeah, Jameson was – because they thought he was going to give him a run for his money to start. Joe Flacco can't start for a team, though.
Why not?
The whole year? The whole year? For
a playoff.
The whole year?
The whole year. He can go on a run. It's like – this right now is like Nick Foles.
You put a good line in front of him.
Good line.
You put a good line in front of him, which Cleveland has a good line, one of the best in the league. The guy can still throw the ball, and he's always been a solid quarterback. I won't say he's elite.
Yeah, I think he got forced out of Baltimore just because they knew.
Because of Lamar.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I love the Jets could have had him.
No.
They did have him.
They had Joe Flacco on their team last year, and he went to New York and asked if he could come back, and they said no. They're good.
And look at him now.
Before he went to the Browns, and then he – That's what we should have. I should have known that he was gonna demolish the Jets.
Yeah, you didn't read the tea leaves on that one, right?
Oh, my bad. Jags are like hobbling into the playoffs at 9-7. They're in the fourth seed.
Wait, are they just clinched?
No, they're in the hunt, but they.
Oh, I think they get bounced.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't even care who they're playing. I think they're done. They're toast.
I mean, they're first in their division, so they got. Yeah, they're Houston's playing Tennessee. Win. They're playing Tennessee, so they got to lose to Tennessee. Vrabel's going
to be wanting to ruin their day.
They don't. I don't think Vrabel can do it as long as Tannehill's the quarterback.
Just turn around, and hand that ball off to Derrick Henry,
bro. They are off of Derrick Henry. I don't really understand it.
Run that man in the ground. You know he's gone next year, so just run him into the ground.
I just don't understand it.
All they have to do is win, and they get in.
I'm even if they lose, they get in, right? Because they're still number one.
No, because Houston.
No, I thought Houston was seven.
But Houston is only a game behind.
Houston's out.
Oh, they're only a game behind.
They're all 9-7. Houston, Colts, and Jags are 9-7. And Tennessee plays Jags, and Colts play Houston. And I think Houston wins that game.
Yeah, CJ's draft, baby.
But if the Jags lose, they have a 22% chance of making it.
If, I don't
know what that means.
If the Texans get in, does what's his name win Coach of the Year?
I think so.
He should be in the running.
I think he should get it.
Why am I going blank on his name?
Oh, man, D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans, yeah.
The only other person I'd maybe consider is
Harbaugh.
I mean,
the Lions coach.
No,
Campbell.
Harbaugh, no. The Lions coach, or
no,
the
Caleb Browns does coach. Not deserve it, and this is why. When you get two penalties on a 2-point conversion and you still go for it from 7 yards out, you should be fired.
Kick the
damn extra point, take it into overtime, and beat their ass in overtime.
That's true. I understand. I agree. Once I didn't get the first one and I got a second one, I think you should have kicked it and went over. But yes. I don't think you should be fired. I know
I'm being dramatic. I'm just saying that is the bonehead move.
I think since we're sorry, Ryan, we're taking over your
transition. Go ahead.
Since we're over here, like, let's talk about how the NFL was complete dickheads, and the referee trying to protect the referee, saying that, hey, guys need to make sure they clearly identify to the referee. What do I need to do? Do I need to do jumping jacks? Do I need a cartwheel on the floor? Like, what on the field? What do I need to do?
We'll text you.
Especially when they say that. Go ahead.
It was announced over the PA system when he reported. So when it was announced the wrong number, Dan Campbell should have been saying, no, you idiots. That isn't the right guy.
Well, how's he going to do that?
Yeah,
but the ref is right on the sideline. They all have mics now. They can talk to each other. They don't have to like.
I know. So, but
I don't know how much time there was between when they announced it and when they hiked the ball. because the players are too busy reading the defense to.
And the coach is looking at like, hey, do we got to look? I'm on the mic. Do we got to look? Hey, is there? He's focused on the play.
I'm just saying.
But I don't think you need to do any of that when I'm going like this.
Yeah, I get it, Kenny. I know. But also, two guys there. Wasn't it both, like two tackles were right in the same vicinity?
It was Sewell and him, and he looked in Decker, right? Decker right. looked at him and hit, first he walked over and was doing this before came onto the field. And then when he got closer, he did it again. And then when number 70 ran on the field, caught his attention on the peripheral, you can tell because he was like, he flashed over and he was like, I'm loud. He's like, okay. And he scanned 1, 2, 3, walked to the defense, said, who's live? They replayed it like 50 times, and you can see the head go like this.
Listen, I'm not saying the ref was not at fault. Like that was terrible, and I'm glad they're not in the playoffs now. That referee crew.
But I'm saying the way the NFL's trying to cover it up and to make it seem like it was a right call. I think that you got to just take and say we messed up on that. Yeah, that's it. Everybody knows it.
Well, look at when that blatant pass interference
outcome
call.
Of the game.
Yeah, you can't change. You like, we messed up on that. That was a bad call.
But look at what they did years ago against the Saints and it was the Saints and the Rams and that blatant pass interference. Like the guy got tackled, and they didn't call it.
They didn't. And then guess what they did the next year? They changed the rule.
They did.
But
they still didn't acknowledge that it was a blown call.
I get it.
Because they're going to cover for their refs.
But the thing is this, what they didn't do, they didn't come back after and did all this, had all these different NFL reps come in and say, oh, the referee was right, or they have to make an excuse. They didn't do that. They said it was a blown call, and they said they're going to change it the next year, and they did. That's the difference, in my opinion. Not trying to make it seem like it's the player's fault over and over again when the player did what he's supposed to do. That's all. Yeah.
If Dallas wins, I mean, the book is written for Dallas, but if they win this week, they clinch the NFC East, which will continue the streak of no same team has won the NFC East in like the last 18 years. It's some ridiculous length of time.
But if Detroit won that game, wouldn't they win to the number one seed?
Detroit?
Yeah, they won that last game.
Or they would have been two seed, right?
They would have been in contention for the number one seed. Right,
because the 49ers are still there.
Oh, because they.
Because the 49ers are 12-4 wins.
They're 12-4.
They 4. Yeah, but they don't need to play. I think they've already clinched the number one seed because even if they lose, they have like the tiebreaker over the contenders.
Yeah.
So Dallas, because they beat Dallas, So Dallas could win the division. They just have to beat Washington. The Lions have already clinched their division. They're kind of settled in at that number three seed. The Eagles are in the five seed, and the Rams have clinched the six seed. They've already clinched their wild card spot.
I think the Rams is a sneaky team.
Yes, 100%.
Last time they were in the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl. So
I would say people don't really look
as good.
Bro, they have a good defense, right? I didn't say a great. Yeah. They're not the defense from the Super Bowl.
They give up some points.
But the difference of it is their offense is better than it was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably.
Bro, like, granted, I love Odell. I like Van Jefferson. I like, you know, Allen Robinson. But Puka?
Puka's the real deal.
Puka is the real.
Because it don't matter.
He might be better than Cup.
I'm about to say, he might be better than Coop. Cooper, you know what I mean? Because Cup is doing his thing. Don't get me wrong.
He's showing his age now.
He is the LeBron of the team, and they needed AD, and Puka is being the real AD. He's coming over like, nah, I'm gonna lead it. You can still be the face, but I'm getting the targets.
You know who else looks good? DeMarcus Robinson.
Ooh,
Kyron Williams has looked good all year.
DeMarcus Robinson is reincarnated. Like he is a coming out party. Because
anyone in that three spot is good because they had Tutu that had games early in the year.
That's a person that disappeared and DeMarcus Robinson popped up.
Yeah.
I think Tutu's injured.
Yeah, probably small.
I think he got injured because he's so small. He just
I thought he was back though.
And then Higby's still gonna get his.
Higby's still getting his. Kyron Williams. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Kyron Williams runs hard.
Ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
If he continues this next year, he could break the record that McCaffrey set for touchdowns in a row. I think he's had like a touchdown in almost every game this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I've been on him a lot for touchdowns in a row.
Yeah, his touchdown odds are like minus 300 right now or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But they look, they're
sneaky team. That's how the Rams always are. The Rams like one back and one back only. Like they were like that with Todd Gurley. They've always been like that with. They don't want to feature multiple people.
But he's probably their most complete back.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like granted, Todd Gurley was a dog, right? He could catch and he's all that. But Kyren is super explosive and he's elusive as hell. He slips a lot of. He's like David Montgomery. When he was his first year with the Bears, when he was just slip all those tackles, that's what he does.
The Packers are in. They're winning in. The Bucks are winning in.
I'm surprised the Packers fans not here.
I know, right? I mean, they've been playing well. They're 8-8 right now. They can get in at 9-8. Be good to go.
I sent you guys a Joe Flacco photo to our group chat.
Okay, yeah. Do you guys want to talk about this award right now? Or
what award?
I think it's bogus that Damar Hamlin is the front runner for Comeback Player of the Year when he's played like two games.
Yeah.
I get it. He died on the field and had to be resuscitated. Great story for him, like that he has made it back to the NFL and is on a team. But is he really a comeback player of the year? That's usually for a guy that comes back from injury and performs very well. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Meanwhile, like, you go stay out of that. I had a piece to say, but I'm gonna let it be. I don't want this to sound harsh, right?
We're not hating on Damar.
I just feel like I'm glad he's able to be back and playing, right? But comeback player of the year doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Because he really hasn't done anything.
No, he has not.
Right? Like, no offense to him, I feel like in a way he's only on the team still because of that. Because he played, right? Because I don't.
How do you define comeback player of the year?
Comeback player, you got to be somebody that actually is damn playing.
What about Brock Purdy? Just because he got injured in the last game of the
it's not comeback player of the year though, right?
I mean, he had a devastating injury in the NFC championship.
In the NFC championship, if it happened like week seven, something like that, I get it.
That's what I'm saying. Like that kind of sucks. But like, if it would have happened week 17, 18, 19, like would he? Mm-mm. I mean, he's an MVP caliber team.
Somebody's like player of the year, I would say Kyler Murray, right? If he played how he's playing right now, if he played the whole season, that's like a comeback player of the year, right? I don't know if Joe Flacco would get it because he was on the team. I don't know if that's the comeback player of the year because he just got released. But who else is in a running for comeback player of the year? Who else were injured or something like that?
What about Stafford?
Yeah, Stafford.
I would give Stafford a comeback player of the year.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we figured it out, guys. Next, hey, I wanted to talk about this when you were talking about college.
Lamar count? Wasn't he hurt last year for a while?
He's an MVP. It doesn't matter.
He's not getting comeback and MVP doing that.
He locked up MVP when he was going against Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy had a shit game, and he did not.
I'm glad you said it because a lot of people make it seem like he's not the MVP, and I'm like, how is he not?
He's definitely
Lamar. Lamar's that whole team.
That's it.
And he had to learn an entirely new offense.
Can we say something about Todd Monken?
Yeah, he's good.
Like
it took a little while for that. Like they were winning games and they were learning.
It was ugly.
It was ugly in the beginning, and now it's like they're just rolling over people.
Yeah, that win last week, I wasn't giving them enough credit. That win last week though was like. Don't play with us. Because everybody likes the shiny object in the Dolphins. And that air went out the balloon quick.
Lamar's got one more hurdle to jump.
What? Super Bowl.
He needs to win the playoffs.
Well, he's going to win the playoffs, though.
No, I think he hasn't really done it yet.
He has to win. He has to win the Super Bowl. I think he's at the point where he has to win the Super Bowl. Like if they got to the AFC AFC championship, I don't think it's going to be. It means anything.
No, he needs to get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he needs to win it. If he gets the Super Bowl, that proves enough to me. Like, okay, yeah, you can win. It's,
you know. They're already going to have a one. They're going to have a bye already, so they got to play one game.
Two. To get to the Super Bowl, that's two. Yeah. Division round.
And oh, because you got to win the AFC championship. I'm tripping. Sorry. Yes. My bad.
One to host the AFC championship game.
Right.
All right. This is my question I was going to ask. What and why is Drake May high on everyone's draft board? Is it because of his age and he's like the youngest of the quarterbacks that are coming out? I don't get it. And if I have to hear this, like he's a prototypical pocket, like
I don't want
white, like I don't give a fuck. Like
he's not a prototypical pocket passer, bro. He's a gamer, dog.
I don't think he's that good.
No, I don't trust any quarterback coming out of that state.
Howell, Trubisky, why?
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
That's what the – well, no, I'm just talking – let's just talk about North Carolina. But he just looks like a clone of – like if you mashed up Trubisky and Sam Howell.
Who was the guy at Duke this year that was supposed to be so great and then
– Leonard. But he got hurt, though. Okay, he got hurt and he transferred, so we'll see him next year. But I think Drake May, if you watch their games, he is UNC. He has I would compare his energy or like the aura of him on the field to like Josh Allen, like where it's like everybody's eyes are just on him and he's making the team go. And it doesn't hurt that his brother is a UNC legend, right? So, like, he's playing Lee and he has all this grit to himself. So, guys, like, okay, is it transferable to his little brother? His little brother has hella grit. He can throw the ball good. He can run. He's athletic. He's very smart. And, you know, to the point that he's young, that helps too, you know?
I think he's going to be a bus.
No, he's not going to be a bus.
I don't want the Giants to get him.
No, I don't think the Giants. You think the Giants going to get him?
No, I could just see the Giants doing this.
Nah, I don't think the Giants going to get him. I think the Giants, Tyrod Taylor proved that the Giants need somebody athletic.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels would be the target for them.
Yeah.
Daniels, Michael Penix. If we're at five, I would love Michael Penix.
Yeah, I think
I would like Penix him later.
Jaden Daniels for the Giants. I don't think if you wait till later, you're going to get Penix. Because if he has another game like he just had, it's over.
Yeah, it's
he's playing too well.
Penix, yeah.
If he has another game like he just had, people are gonna be like, "Oh my god, he's gonna jump up boards crazy."
Yeah, but he's gonna remind me. Yeah, if he wins the national championship, he's going real high. But he does remind. It reminds me a lot of like when Tua came out and he was like he had the prestige. But he had the big hip injury concern with Tua when he first came out. Penix is different because he's had 2 years where he's actually played two full seasons.
Yes.
So that's a positive. That's a
difference piece. Yes.
But that's in the back of people's mind that like you tear the same ACL twice.
Yeah, but the thing is this though, I think
he had a rotator cuff injury, like.
Yeah, but I think if this, but that was in his non-throwing shoulder. But if this was 5 years ago, or no, maybe 8 years ago, I think people would be like, "Hell, he tore his ACL, damn!" But now ACL tear is like fucking spraining the ankle, bro. People coming back like, "Okay, I tore my ACL, I'm back." Like that, I don't think that scares people as much. I think if it was something like
runner, he's not a big runner.
Nah, I think if it was something like Achilles, something like that, I think that would scare people more. Rotator cuff injury, I think if it was in his throwing shoulder, it would alarm people more. But the ACLs, I think it's going to be a question. But the 2 years him playing, the way he's throwing the ball, the way he's playing
he looks like a gamer. That's what I like players that show up in big moments. That's the thing that scares me about Drake May is like,
I know that big moments.
I mean, they should have beat Clemson to end, like towards the end of the season. They had a lot of losses towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's where defense, they got all their losses. Their defense looked like horse. That's what their problem was.
But so does Washington's defense is not as good either.
No, you can't. North Carolina does not have the athletes that Washington has at receivers. It's not even close. It's literally not even close, bro. Like, I get what you're saying, though. Don't get me wrong. I get what you're saying, but it's not even close.
You know,
they got three first rounders on the receivers.
It's going to be tough for the Giants because I would love a wide receiver. Like, I like Malik Nabers because I think Marvin Harrison is just – he's going to be out of reach for the Giants. And I think he's just going to be too much of a diva. Like, he's just going to come in and he's going to be number one. But he's going to – not him himself, but, like, the aura around him. Like, he's just going to be the guy. Mm-mm. And I could see another receiver in this draft class, like Malik Nabers or someone of that caliber, coming in and feeling slighted because everything's Marvin Harrison. Getting a guy with a chip on the shoulder already.
You know why it's Marvin Harrison? Because he's been him for the last 3 years, and we've just been waiting. Like, everybody was already saying, hey, man, this guy Marvin Harrison is the truth, right? First it was Njigba and Oboku, however you love to say his last name. And then they were like, damn, Marvin Harrison went off.
Luka hasn't showed up.
When they were freshmen, and sophomore, people like that. Remember with Garrett Wilson and all them, like, hey, man, these young ones coming up is it. And then next year, you know, you start seeing them kind of go to the side and hear Marvin Harrison Jr. And there's not a game that he hasn't shown up. There's not a game that you like, damn, man, he didn't have it this game.
We're not getting him at five, so let me just hate him. All right. Okay. We're not getting him at five.
Malik Nabers is a baller.
Yeah. Let me get the guy we can get. I'll like him.
There's a lot of guys in receiver wise that are good in the draft. I like Thomas Jr. from LSU as well. He's a baller. There's some guys. Where do you think Caleb Williams is going?
He's still going to go top.
You think he's still going number one?
Number one.
Yeah.
Right now, they were saying that Marvin Harrison's going number one.
No, I think Chicago's going to move on from Fields.
Why? They look actually decent right now.
I know. I just think they want to reset.
So you think they're going to? It's so stupid.
You think they're going to move on from Fields to get Caleb Williams?
Because they can still get some pretty good capital for Fields.
I think he has to have a good game, though.
Giants, call Chicago up.
You would take Fields?
I would take Fields in a heartbeat.
In the right situation, Fields is going to be a good quarterback for somebody.
I would take Fields in a heartbeat.
But he's the type of quarterback, he doesn't fit any system. He needs to have the team built around him.
We'll give you the fifth pick.
Oh, you don't have to go that high.
No. Listen to me. We'll give you the fifth pick. I want Fields and DJ Moore.
You're not getting both. Cut it out, bro. Cut it out.
I thought you had a legit thing
until you said that. You're not getting both.
You could take Marvin Harrison number one, and then take your guy, take whoever at number five.
Man,
keep dreaming, buddy.
There's some guys, dog. You could.
Russell Wilson's gonna be a Giant next year, so it doesn't matter.
Malik Nabers, right? Rome Odunze at Washington. Whoever team he goes to, I'm calling it right now. He might be rookie of the year. Whoever team he goes to, he might be rookie of the year. If he goes to a team like Kansas City,
oof,
it's a wrap.
There's so many receivers this year that I could see Kansas City. Kansas City has to trade up and get a receiver this year.
Walker from North Carolina would be a good pick for them too.
I don't think they need to trade up. In recent years, wide receivers have fallen.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. will fall to them.
They have to hope that one does, but
I think they will.
If I was them, I would.
On the big board, Brian Thomas Jr. is 24, so he'll fall to them. He can be the possession receiver. Rashee Rice be the little quick guy they got. Let Travis Kelce be their tight end. Be good.
If you're the Chiefs, I go up for
Marvin Harrison.
That's what I'm saying. Here's my argument. You already have your franchise quarterback locked up, done. Mm-hmm. You don't ever have to worry about that. If you gave this first round pick next year and the year after to go up to number one to get Marvin Harrison, that's 3 years of first round picks. Why is that not worth it? Because that's essentially picks from pick.
You don't think three first round picks is enough?
No, because they're late first rounds.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm Kansas City, I would make that trade in a heartbeat because I think I'm getting a steal. Because there, it's from pick 25 to 32. That's essentially what you're getting. Because I have Pat Mahomes, I'm making the playoffs every year. And then I have Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm essentially, like, why not make that trade? I would make that trade in a heartbeat if I was Kansas City.
If they got, but you know, realistically, they might, what if they don't even want Marvin Harrison Jr. and they want some guy, like another guy, like Malik Nabers, would you get a better pick? Because, like, I think, I don't know if Chicago moves out of that position, but I think they can get up to like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I think you will see during the draft, something happen, Malik Nabers drops, and you'll see them come up a couple spots.
This is how you know that our teams are out of the playoffs. We're all hyped up.
We're talking about the draft. Hey,
what pick do you think they need to go up for to get Marvin Harrison?
They need to go to at least.
It depends. Two. It depends what happens. No, it really, really, really depends on the on how those ago. How no, no, those no. teams feel about those quarterbacks.
They're going to go to two. He's not going to drop past 3 or 4. Four, I say at the least. He's not dropping past the top 4.
No, I mean, he might go number one.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not dropping past 4 if he drops any.
But what I'm saying is,
what's up, champ?
The NFL draft pick value chart is number one pick overall is 3,000 points. The number four pick is only 1,800 points. So I'm just saying, like, that's how much of a drop off it is, just three picks less.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to gauge.
Yeah, but it also depends on players and.
I think you see multiple people. If Marvin Harrison jumped past two, I think you see multiple people trying to pitch up to get 3 or 4. And I know a team like the Giants or whoever in that position, like, I'll take the draft picks.
But to put that in perspective, let's say Kansas City just finishes in the middle of the playoffs. So they're like, call it 28. Their draft pick is only worth 660 points. And so if you triple that, that gets you to 19 and some change, which is enough to convince somebody to give up the number 4 pick. But if you need to go higher than that, top 3, you're going to pony up more than those 3 picks, 3 first rounders. Because people are going to project the Chiefs to be good enough to have one of those late first rounders.
That's
just a rough like thing. Like, they don't go exactly by this chart, but this is the chart that everybody like kind of gauges prices off of for draft value. Simon, we're trying to do a podcast here.
Yeah, he's trying to show some love. We love you, Simon. We miss you. All right. That's all I got, man. Yeah. Congrats to all the teams that won their fantasy championships.
Good job,
Simon. I only won one. Congrats, Simon. You're the man. We'll have to get the trophy from Jimmy so that we can send it out to you. We'll mail it to Alaska.
Man, I can't believe Clemson, man.
Just stop, Brian. They all right, go on, BK like Betts.
Yeah, we'll be quick with BK Betts. Brian's right now is upset that Clemson gave it up. Right now, I got OKC right now giving me my heart's beating because they're down 3 with the ball. Hopefully, they go to OT. Right now, all I can say is I don't mind giving you guys no picks. Follow us on DraftKings. On Action Sports, I have mine on. But if you go on DraftKings, right, Ryan can drop the name in there so you can jump into the group. If you follow us on DraftKings, knock on wood, you're bound to win some money right now because me and Brian are on a level. We're on a level.
From Thursday through Sunday, I'll just let you guys know, I got 100 times my unit bet that I usually make per unit of what I bet normally. So I'm up 100 units in a weekend.
Yeah. I've hit 4 out of the last 6 days. I hit 4 parlays.
We can't hit a couple big ones last night. So.
Yes. So that's all I'm going to say. And we're going to leave it there. I was one pick away from the 6,500. Oof.
On that what, a $10 bet?
On a $10 bet. Oh, man. 10 out of 11 teams. I hit 2 17-teamers yesterday. I hit a 3-teamer on Sunday or Monday. Saturday, I hit a 6-teamer. Yeah, we're on a run right now to start 2024 for sure. So that's all I'm going to say for you guys. As always, we appreciate you guys tapping in. If you guys are having any New Year's resolutions, continue on. Try to get them done. If you're in the gym, stay in the gym. Let you guys have a prosperous 2024. Do the right thing. Like, subscribe, share with your friends, family. We appreciate the love and support. We're going on year, what, 4 now?
Three.
We're going to year 3. It's crazy. Time's flying. Simon, congrats again. Everybody, will holler at y'all. Peace.
Peace.